Going to the house of the Lord. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Aren't you glad to be here tonight? Yes. Amen. He already said that the crowd was lean, and you know, I really don't like one-sided situations, but that's what I've got tonight. I think I'm going to have to preach like this, or get me a one of those Sunday school stands and just go right over here so we all feel at home. But anyway, I'm just joking around a little bit. Come on, Abby. Y'all pray for my oldest daughter. She's just state of rebellion right now. What's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? Dear Lord, especially when I'm getting ready to get her to sing. Put her on the platform, say she's in a state of rebellion. But, you know, if you had me for a dad, you can expect things like that. Son, bring my Bible up. Let's just have church tonight. What do you say? Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
He's been a shelter in the storm when everything went wrong. A begging hand that led me back home. Still small voice says, gonna be alright. A song of hope in the darkest night. Why should I worry? Why should I fear when I know that He is all? Watching over me.
So why should I worry? Oh, so why should I worry? And why should I fear when I know that He is always near? Even when the weight of the world is closing in on me, His eyes are always watching over me. So why should I worry? Always near, even when the weight of the world is closing in on me, His eyes always watching over me. So why should I worry? Why should I worry? And why should I fear when I know that He is always near? Even when the weight of the world is closing in on me. His eyes are always watching over me. So why should I worry?
Praise the Lord. Sister Margaret, testify. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Freddie, testify. That's right.
He'll take care of you.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. You ready?
People are chasing a beauty.
And I am redeemed.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's all that matters to me. People are chasing a beauty.
To me,
oh, I'm
saved by His grace.
I am
redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, and that's all that matters to me.
But I have a purpose, a reason for living, and that's all that matters to me. For
that's all that matters to me. Oh, I am saved by His grace. I am redeemed. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's all that matters to me. Oh, that's all that matters to me. Oh, I am saved by His grace. I am redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, and that's all that matters to me.
God, is that all that matters to you? Yeah. Washed in the blood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hey, well, we got somebody coming over here on this side. Amen. Forrest, I told him, I said, I didn't like one-sided situations, but that's what I was getting tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I got to be honest with you. I don't really like preaching when the pastor's not there or here, unless I'm the pastor. But here I am, and I didn't have much notice, and I just hope I got the right one. I didn't have as much time to prepare as I'd like to, but we're going to trust that the Lord will help us tonight, won't we? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38. Starting in verse 14. Praise the Lord. The scripture tells us, and she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. Amen. If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to preach on where do you hide your hurt? Where do you hide your hurt? If you could lift your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us tonight, Father in heaven, I ask God that you would, Lord, ordain the remaining part of this service, God, to your will. I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost would anoint and inspire, God, that you would give me the word to say. God, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Well, chapter 38 is more or less a romance gone bad. Tamar here is a young lady that as a young child or a young daughter, the Bible does not really tell us who her parents were. Amen. But that she was taken for the heir who was Judah's eldest son, and she was taken for him to be his wife. But I wonder just who her daddy was and who her mom was, and what kind of childhood that she had. I kind of think as any most children, even though that in this day and hour, there are a lot of unfortunate situations. She was probably well liked, well loved by her family. Even if she had something wrong with her, they probably loved her as their own child. Probably raised her in a home where she had in those days probably many brothers and sisters that she had fun with and enjoyed. And there was a lot of things that Tamar wanted out of life. She probably had a desire to have children, amen, to be able to as many others had done, become the wife of a prominent man, or maybe just wanted to be loved and have that family and raise that family. But here in the scripture, we do not read about a young child that has a lot of dreams and aspirations. We read about a young lady who was on the other side of dreams that did not come true, aspirations, amen, that did not, were not, that did not come to pass. I remember and still do every once in a while get a phone call from a man who was a backslidden preacher that if I mentioned his name, some of you would probably know him. He'll call me sometimes about, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. If I'm lucky, he'll call me about 12, and he'll begin to spill bitterness to me. He'll begin to talk to me and tell me how that he feels. And most people would just hang up the phone on him and not really want to talk to this man, because when he bleeds bad. If you understand what I'm saying, he doesn't mince any words. Some people would listen to him and say, well, he's blaspheming God. But then at the end of it, he'll begin to cry. And he'll say, Brother Scott, would you save me? Would you somehow or another save me? And I look at him and I think, my God. And I hear him on the phone and I there's something inside of me that says, oh, how I would if I could. But I just can't. No matter what I say, Sister Ella May, or no matter how I try to say the right thing, the only hope that I get is every once in a while I'll get a call back and I'll hear that cry again, Brother Ben. Would you save me, Brother Scott? Amen. And what he said to me was, would you say something to take this pain away? Would you say something to give me hope? Because my hurt causes me to become somebody and has caused me to become somebody that I do not want to be. I heard the story. Anybody here know Brother Mike Roberts and how Kermit, his grandson, they took Kermit in. Kermit was a child that every bone in his body pretty much had been broken when they took him out of foster care. And Ben and Melanie began to raise him. But he would come and he would stay at Brother Mike and Sister Debbie's house. They would let him come. He loved to stay with his pawpaw and granny. He would go upstairs and stay there. Amen. But after he was, I forget how old he was. He wasn't but about 5 or 6 when he came to live with them. Amen. But when he was about 14 or 15 years old, Kermit was down there with Brother Mike in the building somewhere. And Kermit looked at his grandfather and he said, Papa, would you like to have a little Debbie cake? Brother Mike looked at him and said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he said, I'd like to have, he said, wouldn't you like to have a little Debbie cake? He said, we don't have none of that stuff around here. He said, Papa, I got some. He said, what do you mean you've got some? He said, hold on, I'll be right back. He went up and under the bed where he had stayed for years with Papa and Granny. He got under that bed and there for years he would take food and he would stash it back there because he knew, he remembered, amen, years ago how that when his mom and daddy would lock him in the closet and he wouldn't get food for days on end, or how that they would beat him and how they would take cigarettes and burn his skin and wouldn't feed him. And so every time he got the opportunity, when he would get a little Debbie cake or grandma would give him, he wouldn't need it, but he'd take it up there just in case he ever got hurt again. He'd have some food. Praise God. I want to preach to you tonight on where did you hide your hurt. I don't necessarily know the stories that are here tonight. The smaller the crowd, the less stories there are. But I remember two women who were in my life, amen, that I knew very well. And they both had very similar situations. They both had very, very mean fathers. These fathers had no appreciation for God. They had no morals and they did not love their daughters. And so they took advantage of these two particular daughters, even though they had others. Amen. Both fathers took advantage. They singled one out and they took advantage of them. Amen. And from the advantage that they took of their daughter, amen, they conceived with child. Amen. And there they were. They were in a situation where they were helpless. Amen. But they had to deal with life as it came to them. Amen. And I remember looking at these women as I grew older, and I never knew the situation until later on in each of their lives, which were unrelated. Hear me, they were unrelated. Amen. One woman that, amen, the one lady, she just was all the time fearful. She was fearful when her husband would leave. She was constantly wondering if he was going to cheat, or even though it wasn't in his mind at all. He wouldn't have for $1 million. Amen. But she was constantly afraid of that. In her last days, when she laid in her on the, amen, that bed and was dying, she was going into dementia, and she would see little black men, and she would say, "Well, they're trying to get at me." That was just a fear she had. She was constantly afraid, but that's where she hid her hurt. There was the other one. She got to the place where, I mean, she'd go to church, every church service she could. When the preachers would come by and preach revival, she would do everything she could to fix them a meal. I mean, a big spread out meal, but still inside of her. Amen. One day she was in the hospital, and it came down time when she thought she was going to die. Oh, help me preach tonight. She thought she was going to die. And so she called all the family in, and she said, "I'm not right with God." Now, I was to point this lady out to you, amen, you'd have said, "Sure, she's right with God. I know she is." Amen. Those different preachers that fed her, that she fed and took into her home, they'd have said, I know that woman's right with God. Amen. But our whole family come into her, into the room there, and she said, "I'm not right with God." She said, every time, she said, "I've got so much hate in my heart." She said, "Every time I see that daughter, amen, that came from her father, amen, every time I see my husband, I think of my father and I hate them. I despise them and I need deliverance." Amen. There was a spiritual man of God that was right there in the room. He said, "Well, what we can do is pray about this." He said, "God can set you free right now." Oh, come on here. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, situations where we take our hurt and we shield them, we hide them. I just mentioned to you about the story of the backslidden preacher. He hides his hurt, amen, in the bottle. Amen. In that little purple glass, really what it is. Amen. A little purple glass. Amen. Of Kool-Aid. Amen. That has been spotted with alcohol. Amen. I told you about that lady. Amen. That had that child that covered up her hurt. Amen. She shielded it with fear. Amen. This other lady that I talked about. Amen. She shielded hers. Amen. With hate. Ain't nobody ever going to do that to me again. Ain't nobody ever going to hurt me like that again. Amen. Can I tell you that our churches are full of people, amen, that are hurting? I said our churches are full of people, amen, you got it hid, amen, inside, amen, you're burning up, amen, you're wounded and the wound is festering, amen, but can I tell you, amen, you're still hiding your hurt. Praise God. Oh, help me preach. We'll get through this real quick. If you'll just help me preach. Where did you hide your hurt? I read to you a story right here in Genesis chapter 28. I'm sorry. Amen. Right here in Genesis chapter 38. Amen. Where this young lady, she is brought into a home. She is taken away, amen, from those that love her. I don't know whether she was beautiful, plain, or ugly. The Bible does not tell us that. Amen. But there's a situation here, amen, where her father-in-law, amen, goes against Jewish custom. Amen. And he says, "I'm not going to marry her." He doesn't marry her to my other sons. He does it deviously. Amen. He does not worry about her feelings. Amen. He does not care about how she feels about it. He does not care about what the Word of God says about it. Amen. that he does not care. Amen. That he is taking the very future of this young lady away. Oh, come on here now. Have you ever felt like that? Amen. The life that you planned. Amen. Every dream that you ever had. Amen. Or maybe it's just one dream, but it was a big one. Amen. And it did not happen because somebody, amen, just seemed to wipe it out from under you. They pulled the carpet right out from under your dreams, and your dreams disappeared, and you're hurting inside. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, my, amen, if you don't get a hold of God, amen, you can hide it all you want to, amen, but it's going to haunt you till the day that you die. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, she's rejected by her husband's family. Her husband's family, Judah, looks at her. Amen. We know that she was married to Ur. Ur is a man who is sinful. He is a man that God takes his life from him. Now, I don't know what Ur finds in Tamar. Maybe he's seen her as a beautiful woman. Maybe he just got in a situation where he felt like he had to marry her. I don't know. Amen. But I know that they are married. Amen. And this is a romance gone bad. Amen. She is here and her husband dies. Now, we don't know the personality, amen, of Tamar. We don't know if she was, amen, in fact, just somebody that, amen, because of their irrationalities, that she was not pleasant to the eyes. Amen. We do not know if she had a conflicting personality to where they could not get along with her. Oh, come on here now. We don't know that. Amen. But all we know is they say all the rules are out. Amen. We're not going to do what God said. We're not going to go along, amen, with traditional heritage. Amen. It's not going to happen here. Amen. And she waited on the youngest. Amen. The middle one. Amen. Married to, and God smote him dead and killed him. Amen. The youngest one was coming along, and Judas promised her to him. Amen. This is her third chance. Amen. To find love. This is her third chance. Amen. To actually see these dreams come true. But they do not come true because Judah, amen, does not keep his word. Have you ever had somebody in your life that has not kept their word? Amen. And their word meant everything to you. Their word meant everything to you. Or maybe you're here, amen, and you feel like God hasn't kept his word. Amen. And it meant everything to you. Amen. For him to do so. Amen. Maybe you didn't hear him right. Amen. Or maybe he just didn't say what you thought he did. Amen. But nonetheless, you are developing, amen, a hurt because you're angry with God. And you're hurt. It's, I don't know who I'm preaching to. But I sure feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, you can't hide your hurt. It will come out some way or another. Oh, my friend. Amen. Why do we try, amen, to accomplish hiding it? Amen. When God can see it, and it destroys us from the inside out. We all are hurt at times. We all are torn up inside. We all have been hurt. I have learned, and me and Brother Ben were talking about this actually Sunday a little bit, but I really wonder if anybody can really be a help to somebody else, amen, until they've been hurt once or twice. Oh, come on here now. Until they survive the pain of it. Until they survive the pain and agony of being hurt. Tamar, amen. I wonder one time if she didn't make a trip back home to see mom and daddy. We know that she did. The Bible tells us that she did. Amen. Before, amen, these scriptures that I read here in verses 14 and 15, she goes back to her mom and dad. I wonder what the reception was like. Amen. You've got a father standing out there. Amen. He may not know she's coming. He may. Amen. But the Tamar that he knew, amen, was a young, lively, amen, girl that was just smiling. She was happy. Amen. When he watched her leave, amen, in the arms of her, amen, she had her trust in him. She had her trust and faith faith in where life was going. Amen. And I wonder if mama, amen, did remember that little girl that would go around the house. Amen. Sometimes offering to help and other times being made to. I wonder how many times she stood out there and smiled at her innocence as she played out in the yard somewhere. Amen. But now here comes a lady. Amen. Her head is down. Her shoulders are slumped. Amen. What's wrong, Tamar? You're not the same girl that you used to be. Amen. I don't want to talk about it, mama. I don't want to talk about it, daddy. Oh, baby, if you just tell me, I'll try to help you out of it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want anybody mentioning my former life. Amen. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Oh, come on here now. Amen. Tamar, can we reach you? I wonder how ugly it made her personality. I wonder how ugly it made her. Amen. What once had been a beautiful woman. Amen. How it caused her to be sarcastic every time. Amen. That the story of Aaron and the marriage would. Amen. That years ago, how sarcastic it made her. Come on here now. I wonder how it caused her. Amen. Maybe she was one given to singing. How that she'd go around the house and she'd just sing the praises. Amen. Of Jehovah. But now it's not like that anymore. Amen. Now Judah's going around the house. She's sullen. She's quiet. She's bitter. Amen. Mom and dad would say something to her. They try every way they could. Amen. But even they're getting frustrated. Amen. Trying to reach this lady that they now do not know that had once been their daughter. Amen. Can I tell you that bitterness, amen, will take you further, amen, than you'd ever thought you'd go. Amen. It'll make you a person you never thought you'd be. Amen. Come on here now. Because that's exactly where hurt will take you. Amen. Hurt will cause you to become bitter. I said hurt will cause you to become bitter. Right. Tamar, what are you doing today? I've got something I've got to take care of. Where are you going, honey? Mama, don't worry about me. I'm a grown woman. I can take care of myself. I'm worried about you, Tamar. Don't worry about me. I'm tough. I can handle this. I wonder what Tamar's daddy would have said when that five-year-old Tamar run by him and you'd have walked up to him and said, your daughter one day is going to be a harlot. Come on here now. He'd have probably been really mad. I wonder what mama would have said the day she looked and she saw her daughter going to what she thought was a good family. And if somebody walked up beside her, you see her? It ain't going to last long. She's going to be a harlot. Mama would have told you exactly what she'd have thought if she hadn't got physical. I wonder what Tamar would have said when she was married to her and everything was happy. Everything was going right. Come on here now. I'm preaching to you. I wonder what she'd have said when you looked at her and said, Tamar, it's not always going to be this nice. And if you're not careful, you're going to end up under the veil of a harlot. You see, hurt that is not healed will take you to bitterness. And bitterness will cause you to become somebody you never dreamed you'd ever be. You might come to church. You might sing. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. You might even get up and sing your own special. I'll come on here now. But when you go home, are you the same individual? Or is hurt contorted? Amen, that precious person that you was. Has the hurt caused you to become somebody you never thought you'd be? I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I tell you what, I know I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You hear me? I'm on a hunt. I'm trying to find where you hid your hurt. Amen. Does it come out? Amen. She goes to the side of the road. She puts a veil on her face. Amen. She goes to extreme. Amen. She goes to extreme solutions. Amen. To try to come up with an answer to this problem. Amen. What do we do? Amen. Do our children see us turn into a monster? Oh, come on here now. Amen. Does our spouse, amen, have to stay away from us when they see, amen, a certain attitude coming on? Amen. I'm talking to you. Where do you hide your hurt? Amen. Oh, my friend, can I tell you that the gall of bitterness is intoxicating? It'll cause you to stagger like a drunk man. It'll cause you to become somebody you never dreamed you'd be. It'll cause you to become ashamed of yourself. But if you don't get the hurt healed, amen, you'll not get over it. My God. Hallelujah. Even her tormentor, even the tormentor, when he came by the road that day and looked at that woman that had been his daughter-in-law for so many years, he himself did not recognize her. Hurt will cause you to become somebody the devil himself cannot even recognize. Come on here now. Hallelujah. It's a long way out of these woods. I hope I can get out of there. Amen. Before I get hurt, as quiet as it is. Where do you hide your hurt? What's your hurt cause you to do? I didn't tell you illustrations about people that had just been hurt. I talked about people that hid their hurt for years. Years and years and years. Some of them got over it. One of them did. The other one's still going through it. And the other one never fully did get over her hurt. Oh God. Oh God. You see, Christ himself would not drink of the gall of bitterness because he knew it was intoxicating. He knew he wouldn't be able to think straight. He knew he wouldn't be able to forgive. Come on here now. I'm not going to preach that long tonight. I feel like I've preached enough. You get the point. We can hide our hurt, or we can take it to the healer. You're here tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I live an hour and a half away. This is the first time I've been back since that night I preached right after the hymn sing that the church here had. I don't know what's going on in your life. Come on here now. Are you hurting? Have you started to notice where the infection of that hurt is causing you to be irritated? The inflammation of that hurt is causing you to react in pain? Tomorrow, what are you going to do? I'm going to take this matter into my own hands. Judah has already showed that he's not going to keep his word. I don't know why Tamar didn't feel like she could turn to God, but she resorted to her own way of thinking. And every time we do that, we just end up in a mess, don't we? I mean, it's scriptural. Don't go towards your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Are you hurting? Have you been hurt? Maybe you're a man here tonight. There's not many of us. But maybe you're a man here tonight and you've been hurt, but you're too tough to admit it. I've been hurt. Brother, I'm one of those guys, I don't bleed well internally. When I bleed, it's not internally. It's not that I try to get people back, but I don't like it when you come up, smack me in a proverbial manner speaking, walk away and act like you never did nothing. That's the type of guy I am. I feel like you need to admit what you did. And so I don't bleed well internally. When I bleed out. But some of you don't bleed out, do you? You bleed inside. You just keep bleeding and keep bleeding and keep bleeding. And you just can't stop the bleeding. And it's killing you. Oh, you're doing good. You're still making good money. You still got the bills paid. You're still going along fine, but inside, it's bleeding and it's cutting off your spiritual circulation. And you're not the person that you used to be. You're not the person you used to be. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Sister Wendy, if you'd come to the piano. There's no use in preaching long. Where do you hide your hurt? The question is, now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to bring your hurt up here and lay it on this altar? I haven't talked to your pastor other than he called me today when I was on the job and said, would you come preach for me tonight? I haven't spoken to him, and I can't tell you how long. But I felt like preaching this tonight. And for some reason or another, somebody here feels like you've got your hurt well hid. You feel like you've got it taken care of. And the only time that you have doubts is when somebody says a certain thing about that certain person. Or when you see a certain face, and all of a sudden feelings begin to rise up in you that you thought that you had conquered. And you try your best to push it down. You try your best, but the hurt's still there. You've hid it down inside. I believe in most instances, when it finally gets to bitterness, bitterness is something that you never fully get over because the taste of it is so bad. You just learn to deal with it. Irregardless of the fact that there's not that many here tonight, irregardless of the fact the pastor's not here and his wife, irregardless of the fact that this is a serious altar call, are you willing to bring your hurt to this altar tonight? So we all stand. Let's stand. Praise God. Are you here? And you feel your need to pray before I give the general altar call? Brother Scott, I really don't want to. Look, you've been dealing with it so long. Why don't you show God you really mean business? Is there anyone here that's willing to step out? Why is it, if there's a man here dealing with this, why is it that if the good Lord don't help us, I know with me, if God hadn't saved me and delivered me, it's just my nature to fight back. It's my nature. I mean, I'm not one to just walk away and let you run all over me. But why is it that stuff like this, sometimes us men, we just kind of, I mean, we fight the first man that said something to our wife, or at least let him know we didn't appreciate it. Let somebody do something to our children that was unprovoked, and we'd be ready to step in there and take care of the situation. But why is it that when it comes to something of the heart, it's so difficult for us to say, God, here it is. This has spiritually been killing me for years. You see, when we hide our hurt, that wall we build around it somehow always comes between us and our Savior. That place that we have it hid, it seems like every time when we get serious with God, He somehow ends up right on the other side of that, doesn't He? And He intends to deal with it, but we won't let Him. Because we have learned to hide our hurts from men. And we're so good at it, we end up hiding it, trying to hide it from God. Even though He sees it. We're so good at defending ourselves that with God we can't even let down the resistance. Father in heaven, I pray tonight, God, in this service, Lord, would You move, God, as we have this altar call here. I pray, God, that You would move and touch, God, each and every individual here. But God, those that are here in this service, maybe nobody knows, maybe everybody knows, but God, maybe somewhere inside, God, they're hurting. God, they're trying to hide it. They feel justified. God, in their hurt, because they were done wrong. Maybe they really were done wrong, God. But God, they're here tonight, and Your will is for them to come to You hurt and meet You as a healer. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You would go into this congregation. Holy Ghost, that You would touch hearts and You would draw them to the altar of prayer where we can lay our hurt down and let You heal us. Is there anyone here tonight, anyone right now, under the sound of my voice, that you want to come to this altar? Step out right now, please. Step out right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone? Anyone else? We have one. Are the burdens in life becoming so heavy that they're hurting? Come on now. I said, are the burdens in life becoming so heavy that they're hurting? Are you man or woman enough to step out and come to this altar? Is there someone here that for years and years and years, there's been something, you kept a lid on it? I don't know why I just feel like that I just can't give a general altar call right now. Because the only way someone is going to get deliverance tonight is you've got to admit that this hurt is killing you spiritually. Are you here? All right. On faith that you'll come, whoever you are, I want to give a general altar call to everyone who will. Would you please come to the altar? Find a place to pray. If you know someone who is hurting, put your arm around them and pray with them. Let's not leave here tonight still trying to hide that hurt. It turned Tamar into something she never dreamed she'd be. It caused her to displease her God. But the hurt was so intense she didn't care no more. She didn't care what it had made her and what she had become. She was going to fight back. Oh God, would you help us tonight? Jesus, would you help us tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No one can touch you like
Jesus can. No one can
give you peace
you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.
No one can touch you like Jesus can.
Hallelujah! Nobody
can touch you,
can move on you like Jesus can. Nobody can take away the hurt like Jesus can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those hands that touch the blind, that touch the lame. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're here tonight to touch you where it hurts. Oh God, help us. Oh God, would you help us tonight? God, make this service, God, a point of no return. Hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did they say something you've never been able to forget? Come on here now. That insecurity that you have, did it come from somebody? Amen. Telling you you was nothing, that you was a nobody. Amen. And inside you're still hurting after years and years and years. Amen. The repercussions of what you went through, they're still working. Come on here now. Amen. It's because you've been hurt. It's because you've been wounded. Amen. It's because the pain has never really fully gone away. Oh God, where do you hide it? Where do you hide it? Amen. You don't even forgot where you've hid it. But every once in a while it'll pop back up. It'll come back. Come on here now. Amen. I'm telling you to bring yourself to Jesus tonight. He can take care of you. He can bring you out. Glory to God. He can heal you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Restoration. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, the hurt you when the world has left you lonely. Oh, but he'll take you underneath his wings. sublime the name, suffered so much pain from the nails that truly pierced him. From those hands flow liquid blood, power from above, bringing hope and restoration. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can burn your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can burn your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. Oh,
no one can touch you
like Jesus can. Oh, hands that touched the blind, the lame, and suffered so much pain
from the nails that cruelly pierced him. From those hands flow liquid blood
and power from above,
bringing joy and restoration. No one can touch you
like Jesus can.
No one can give you
peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can.
No one can touch you
like Jesus can. No one can
give you peace
you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. That touched the blind, the lame, that suffered so much pain in a world that truly pierced them.
And from those hands flow liquid blood and power from above, bringing hope and restoration.
Hallelujah.
No one can touch
oh,
you.
Like come on,
Jesus
praise God.
Can.
Hallelujah. No one can do it like Jesus can.
You cannot oh, God. Understand.
Nobody can touch you
no
like Jesus can.
Burn your wounds with
praise God. You're hurt something you can't put a Tylenol on.
No one can touch
come on here now. Amen. You're hurt something that the doctor can't give you a prescription for, but Jesus can take care of it. Jesus can take care of it. Hallelujah. That balm of Gilead. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, but He'll take you under